Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Gain invaluable insight from industry-experienced instructors, all while building connections with peers who share your drive for success. Our team is only a call or email away to give you the academic and career support you deserve at every step. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, good evening and welcome. And you may have noticed that the voice is a little different. This is Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in tonight for Pastor Ernie Sanders. And helping me out, your normal guest host on Friday is Big John McTernan. John, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm ready to go, that we have a real blessed night tonight. And by the way, I got a very good report about Pastor Ernie, because he had a severe cataract on his eye, and it was removed today, and I got a good report that he's doing fine.
That is wonderful. Well, with everybody praying, I guess I can't be too surprised. We've been praying for several weeks over it and asking people to pray. And I know you and I believe the power of prayer. And God's servant is going to probably be able to come back to work next Monday then, from my understanding. So anyway, glad to have you with me. It's been a long time since we've worked together. Last night, we started off on a Bible study. I had it titled, Know Your Enemy, How Satan Uses Philosophy and Vain Deceit. And we went through, there were about 10 strong verses on deceit. And Scripture is very plain, let no man deceive you, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. By any means. And we were talking about, the lies of commission, the lies of omission, and all the different things in deception. And unfortunately, John, you've seen this, I know, you're one of the few people that's aware, the church has not really understood what those vain philosophies and deceits are. And so I started going over some of the things like communism, Marxism, socialism, cultural Marxism, moral relativism, how all these things are anti-Christ. And we're going to finish up the Bible study tonight. I'm going to do a couple verses, and then you've got some to join me. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's one of those phrases, there's a lot to it, we'll go back. Galatians 5, 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So here we have in these first few verses, God is helping us clarify the enemy really comes down the rulers of darkness. And John, you know who the ruler of darkness of this world is, right?
Oh, yeah, Satan.
Which all the pastors preach on, but how many times have you heard a pastor give a sermon or talk about the isms like existentialism, the basis of every college and university philosophy course across the country? How can pastors warn the young students against something that they have no understanding, can't define it, don't know what it is?
That's part of the deceit.
Exactly. And the deceit, the pulpit, one of those things too many of the Bible colleges and seminaries, they don't really teach other things outside of Scripture, but you and I have had to learn to apply Scripture to the real world, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I've interacted with these philosophies like you're talking about, seems like all my life.
But if you don't, how do you confront the real world, right? You can't
exactly deal
with people's life in reality if you don't understand what's going on, correct?
Yes.
So, in Daniel, and says what? The people be corrupted by flatteries, it mentions that, and there's a lot of that in this world, but I'm sorry.
Hello, fellas. You there?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just calling in to give you an update.
Oh, it's Pastor Ernie. Hi.
It's Ernie.
Yeah, I didn't recognize your voice.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick update because I know a lot of people have been calling, and I can't read the text, the phone, so, and I haven't been able to text anybody back, but I'll just let everybody know. Surgery went very well today, and I can't say enough about the VA over there. Just really, what a difference now in at the VA with the atmosphere and just people's, how friendly they are and compared to when Biden was in. Just completely different atmosphere, but anyhow, everything went very well. I can't say enough about Danielle, a nurse, and my doctor, surgeon, Chin. Just absolutely perfect. And they really treated me like a king. So anyhow, I want to say that. I have an eye guard I'm going to have to wear for about 3 weeks. This is different. My cataract was different. This wasn't the typical cataract. It was way different. But anyhow, other than that, that's the whole report. And I'll let you guys get back to your...
Pastor Ernie, when are you going to get back to the show?
I'm hoping I could get back. I'm not going to be able to read anything until probably later on next week, but I've emphasizing, so I'd like to be able to get back there with Joe on Monday night, hopefully, and that would be great. But
well, if not, I can handle things and you can come on and criticize everything I say.
All righty. Well, I'm going to listen to tonight's program when it's replayed on Monday, and then I'll criticize both of you.
Get some sleep. God bless you.
Well, I better not say anything, Pastor Ernie, then. I have to keep quiet here.
Well, I tell you, we certainly have enough topics to talk about tonight, don't you, with Arctic Frost out there, with what's going on with that, and now this Boyberg, that judge, it looks like he's finally going to get what is coming to him. And with all of what is happening, and now here, the Democrats, they've really got themselves in a mess. because more people now are, it's all shifted over, and people are holding them responsible for this, what has taken place. So anyhow, you guys have a lot to talk about tonight. Don't forget, though, about Nigeria, to pray for those folks out there. There's been over 50,000 killed just in the last couple of years, and over 500,000 and Christians killed by those radical Muslims there. So it would be a good idea maybe to say a prayer for those folks. And do you know what, though? I'll just say this, and I'll let you guys go. It looks like the pressure is mounting, and Trump has said, look, we need to do something about this. And that would be absolutely wonderful if, our military could give those Christians over there some protection. It would be great. So, anyhow.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, hang on for a minute. I want to show you what I was going to share tonight if I had time. And
sure.
It is about Nigeria. And here's what it says here. Trump designates Nigeria as a country of particular concern over widespread Christian persecution killings. Now, the article goes on to say, now listen to this. This is from Trump. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. Trump said, we stand ready, willing, and able, now listen to this, to save our great Christian population around the world. Pastor Ernie, that's amazing.
It is. And we have to encourage him to do just that. I know our radio program has been talking about this for a long time. We really knew President and all the folks listening out there, they're killing fellow Christians. I mean, burning them alive. It's really a horrible thing, and it doesn't seem to, it doesn't even make the news media. We're the only ones talking about it, and so.
That happened even years ago.
And I don't know if you know this, Pastor Ernie, but I have a ministry in Nigeria.
Oh, yeah, I know. You've been preaching over there.
Yeah. And twice they came for the pastor, but the Lord had it that he was out of the area, and they didn't catch him. They probably would have killed him.
They've killed a lot of them, I think. What was it, a report or something? They had like 20 pastors gathered at one time and killed them. So it's a terrible thing. And the folks, we need to really keep them in prayer, but encourage President Trump. What greater use for our military than to go to the aid of fellow Christians?
Yeah. Well, Pastor Ernie, we've got you here, so let's have a prayer while you're here.
All right. Very good.
We're before you. Abba Father, we're here before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, it looks like the time has come for your people to be protected and helped. In Nigeria, the government is Muslim, and they could care less if the Christians were killed, and they're being killed by the Muslims. So Lord, we ask that you'd raise up a standard, and if be, that our military could go in there and offer protection and humanitarian, protection for these people, Lord. So please protect them. They're wonderful believers in you. I know them, Lord. I interact with them. Wonderful believers in you. And again, anoint President Trump. He has this desire, and I pray it would work out. And the people, the believers in you would be protected in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen. Thank you. Very good. It was a very good prayer. I'll go ahead and let you guys, go ahead.
Get some rest. You've had a hard day, and take it easy. I know that's one of the things they want you to do is be quiet for a while, right?
Yeah. It started at 5 o'clock this morning, and... Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit back and I'll try to get some sleep.
All right. For once, you're going to do what you're told.
Yeah.
God bless, my friend. We'll talk to you Monday.
You too. God bless both you guys.
Bye-bye. Okay, Pastor Ernie. God bless you.
All right. I almost didn't catch the voice. Came in kind of weak there at first. Didn't know what was going on. Almost missed him. Anyway, we were in talking about Daniel, and Daniel said, "The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." And that's one of the things we're going to talk about here in a minute. Do you want to read Ephesians 4 for us, a few verses?
Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17 through 21. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." There it is, the vanity of their mind.
Vanity. Mm-hmm.
Then that vanity is like emptiness. It's like just empty. Having their understanding
like darkened.
Being alienated from the life of God. Now, this is the vanity of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him, and you have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus."
Yes, it is. That idea right there, where it comes, that uncleanness and greediness, and that, what does the scripture say? The love of money is the root of all evil, and we see that love of money, power, the two are kind of tied together, and that is what the battle is over. Instead of people working for the good of the country, we've got the Democrats. Everything they do is about consolidating, keeping, holding, and maintaining their power. And that causes them to do all of these other things that are abominable, right?
Amen. Amen.
It's kind of clear, yeah. So we've got... First Corinthians 2 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to guide, direct, and through him, through the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. We can see how Christ wants the world to be, how he wants us to act, behave, and work." And then, it makes it clear in 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season," and here are the key words, "reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine," using Christ's doctrine. John, do you want to tell people the difference between reprove and rebuke?
Well, rebuke, to me, is it's serious. And it's something that may take, what would I call it, power? In other words, someone has done something wrong or, you know, really error in the scriptures, and you rebuke them for it. The other one was edify. And, well, there's the other one also. The edify is to lift up and exhort and to take those that are, like, depressed and preach about Christ's second coming and all and exhort them. And the other one, reprove, I think that's a little odd now, but I think reprove means to show, like they got a wrong doctrine, and you're showing them where they're wrong.
Right, it's a gentleness. So, reprove is a gentle correction. You're showing, you're working with somebody where rebuke is strong. And last night I called it God saying, "Thou shall not, must not, cannot, will not." Do you hear him? That's a rebuke. And that's one of the things that's lacking very strongly, I think, from our pulpits. I want to read Philippians, if you would, please. Chapter 3, 17 through 20.
You wanted me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay. Philippians 3. And what's the verse?
17 through 20.
Okay, verse 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Wow, that's, oh man, is that serious? The end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation or our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence we also look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Wow. Dude, listen to all this. What I'm seeing here, what God is telling us and what the apostle is telling us here, that he's saying even weeping, he's talking about these enemies out there. He is feeling mercy for them because they're headed to hell, but they're also the enemy who are destroying other Christians. So they're the enemies of the cross. They must be dealt with, but they also must be prayed for that they would turn and repent. We have an enemy in this cultural Marxist. We have the socialists, we have the communists, we have the Marxists, which are all really one and the same. Their goal is all communism, power, complete power and control. And they're a dangerous enemy. They're subverting our young. They're taking our young people, joining their ranks. And they also are combining with Islam, and you started talking about that here early in the program. They're saying is the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So we have two evil forces, radical Islam and communism, combining to work together to destroy Western civilization. And Philippians is sitting here telling us their end is destruction. They will be destroyed because they are involved in these earthly things. They are following a philosophy or religion made of man, not of God. The Marxists following Karl Marx, the Islamists following their Quran, claiming that's the one true God in the Quran, Allah. And this is where we're in the middle of a revolution, folks. There is a takeover of these two forces trying to take over, control America, destroy Western civilization. And what they're doing is they're attacking our faith. They're attacking our form of government, the constitutional republic. And they are at war with us. And unfortunately, for at least in my opinion, the past 30, 40 years, the pulpits have been silent. Would you agree with me on that, John?
Yeah, I very seldom hear any, I'm trying to think of ever hearing from the pulpits warning the dangers of Islam. And I think it's very important that the people hear this. We don't assume that they learn on their own about Islam, and they should be teaching on it that we can sink our teeth into and understand how dangerous this religion is.
Well, doesn't the Bible say in a phrase, pastors and teacher, pastor and teacher, we're also to be teachers, and if we don't know what's going on in the world, how can we take God's word and apply it to the world people are living in if we don't understand what's going on in that world? Can't be done from the pulpit, can it?
Well, here's the good thing, Brother Joe, and that is if they listen to this show, they mightn't hear it on the pulpits, but they'll get the real truth here that they then, it's like an anchor to their soul.
Amen. Yeah. But I just remember that Daniel, that verse, Daniel 11:32, the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We're supposed to be out there being doers of the word. But we're also supposed, if you look at Scripture, almost everything the Lord asks us to do is a active verb, right? We're to witness and testify and pray and we're to reprove, rebuke, we're to stand in the gap, run to the battle, fight the fight. In fact, there's a huge list. We don't have enough looking at the clock, enough time. But every one of those things that God asks us to do, they're active verbs, correct?
Yes, right. Right.
Do you think maybe he had a reason for making all those things active verbs and then telling us to be doers of the word, go out there and be doing things, not just hearing, listening, be a bystander? We're supposed to be active participants in what? Promoting the gospel, peace, love. And we have enemies that we have to overcome that are the minions and forces of Satan. And that's who we have to deal with, correct?
We definitely should be a doer of the word, like you just said. And that the more we, I'm going to say, exercise our faith, the more we grow in Christ, and God can bless us, he can show us things, he can teach us things. But if we're inactive, what does God need to show us? So being active for the Lord is what he wants us to do. Because that way we can really grow spiritually in many ways.
Exactly. Patrick Henry wasn't a preacher, but he was a good Christian. And one of my favorite quotes of his, he said, "It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains." And unfortunately, Christianity in America has been going downhill rapidly. I think there's only a very few now, small percentage of really true born-again Christians. There's a lot of people who claim Christianity that aren't born-again believers, aren't really Christians. And the so those of us that are left, well, if you look at the Old Testament, does God work with the majority, or does he work with a small minority of people to do his will?
Well, in the Bible, Brother Joe, it's called the remnant. God describes it as the remnant.
Yeah.
And that's ones that he zeroed. The remnant can carry the day, Brother Joe.
Well, looks like it is, if I'm right here, we need a break. Bottom of the hour, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, take her away, sir. We're doing this remote, so Dale and I can't really communicate easily. We'll be right back after this.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame, but John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John.
Big John.
Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big
Baptist John.
Big Baptist John.
Big Baptist John.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Joe Larson sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. You're listening to What's Right, What's Left of Radio Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. And our Friday guest is always Brother Big John McTernan. And John, you've got a couple of stories that I think need to be told. And I believe we're going to start with Mr. Biden and the infamous auto pen scandal, right?
Yeah, Brother Joe. And what's happened, in case our listeners may not be aware of this, I think most should be, though, is towards the end of the Biden's administration there, he became completely, his mind was gone with dementia.
Yeah.
So what happened was, Brother Joe, this is amazing. We don't know, as I've been following this, we don't know who was running the country. He was not, for sure. Joe Biden was not running the country. So was his wife doing it? Was his son Hunter, the cocaine addict, was he doing it? There's rumors or there's suggestions that one senator there, at least part-time, was running it. The one from Massachusetts, Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, yeah. Pocahontas, we call her.
Pocahontas, yeah. But who was in charge of the United States, Brother Joe? Do you have any suggestions during this period of time?
Well, I tell you what, with the choice there, I think it was a kind of a coalition of all those aforementioned people. Well, we know that now that his day ran from 10 to 4, and he had to have a lot of naps. He never did really interviews because the minute he opened his mouth and started speaking, crazy things happened. So you and I saw with our own eyes the dementia taking place, the damage, whatever it was. He was not there. So we've got the doctor that had the lie. In fact, I do believe right now that Pam Bondi is looking into the... she sent a letter to Dr. Andrea Anderson, the chair of the District of Columbia Board of Medicine, calling on this Dr. Anderson to investigate whether the actions of Biden's White House physician, Dr. O'Connor, should disqualify him from future practice in the Capitol. I think it should disqualify him from future practice of medicine anywhere, because
right.
he, of all the people, he had to have known the problem and kept it quiet from the public, right?
Yes. If he was seeing Joe Biden as a patient, and I don't know how often that would be, once a week, I don't know. I think he's in the White House kind of many hours a day, I think, every day during the week. They have him like on standby.
Yeah, so they're on standby, and he has to do regular checkups and things, so... even just if he was watching TV and doing some of the dumb stuff, shaking hands with somebody that wasn't there, walking around lost, he couldn't even find the path into the White House. They had to have one of the Secret Service run and grab him by the arm and pull him back and show him how to get to the door to get in back there to the private quarters. So if he saw anything you and I saw as a doctor, he would have been there the next morning to give him a physical and check him, right? If he were a real doctor?
Yes. And then he would have reported it to the vice president, and the vice, but this should have been like 2 years ago. I don't know. Maybe going back to when he was running for president. But mm-hmm. we'll just say
even,
two years ago, he has to report it to the vice president that the president is unable to carry out his duties. So the vice president then would address the cabinet. They call a cabinet meeting, all his cabinet, and they would say that this doctor has made this medical decision that the president is mentally unable to perform his duties as president. And they would take a vote on it. And then at the end, because they have to follow the 25th Amendment to the Constitution.
Right.
To remove the president. And then they vote on it. And I think at that point, can you help me with this, Joe? Do they have to go to the Senate? Don't they have to tell the Senate of the president's condition? Does the Senate get involved in all at this? Are you aware?
Boy, you just hit me with something. I really don't know what comes next, but I do know when they come out with it that it has to be a transfer of power over to the vice president, and then the Speaker of the House becomes the vice president. And I don't know the Speaker of the House.
It might be the Speaker of the House they have to bring it to. There's something in between that they have to do. And then he's removed.
All these people that should have realized there's this Article 20, the 25th, Article 25, if he's incapable of governing, we have the chief of staff, we have the doctor, we have all the people on his staff that deal with him, and then the heads of the Democrat Party also should have, Chuck Schumer, some of the other people that deal with the president, even Elizabeth Warren, the people are running around talking about how brilliant, how active he was, and how alert, and oh, he's just never been sharper. I mean, the lies and the deception. What did George Orwell say? Remember, he wrote in 1984, during times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. And the left, because the only thing that matters to them is power, keeping, maintaining power. This is why they all had to lie, deceive us, because if they did what was demanded of them by the Constitution, they would lose power and possibly the next election, and they couldn't do that. It's against their narrative, their belief. Power is the essence of the Democrat Party, so that's why this never could happen. They would not lose power for any reason whatsoever. They've proven it now, to me, in my mind at least.
In adding to all of this, what's going on, someone or some group of people, I don't know if we know exactly who was involved in this, but they made a decision on who they were going to release from prison, because the president of the United States, authorized by the Constitution, has the absolute right to free anyone, pardon anyone from prison. So what they did was, Brother Joe and all the listeners, this is amazing what they did. They asked the warden, whoever that would be, I don't know who was in charge of the prison system, but they asked for a printout of all the people that fit this criteria. So they got a printout of like 2,000. They got a printout of like 50, because they had different criterias. And then they made a blanket. Mm-hmm. And they made whoever they are. It wasn't Joe Biden. He had no idea this was going on.
No.
And they pardoned, like in mass, a whole bunch of people. And then he didn't sign it, but he had the auto pen. So
yeah, now there's break there, because if the president uses the auto pen, he has to give an order that he wants this done through the auto pen. And it has to be in a way like notarized, not like going to a notary public, but his chief of staff has to acknowledge and somebody else on his team. In fact, when they did their report there on this, they had deposition. There were 14 top Biden officials and the three senior officials. That was Anthony Bernal, Annie Tomasini, and Dr. Kevin O'Connor. They all, by the way, invoked the Fifth Amendment not to incriminate themselves rather than answer the committee's questions about Biden's mental capacity. And these people all would be in line there. The two or three people would all have to acknowledge that he ordered an auto pen signing of something important. And it would have to be recorded on a daily briefing or something. So there's no recording. None of these people said, yes, Biden told me so-and-so verified it. We wrote it in the daily report. So we know that Biden didn't authorize it because there is no proof. Nobody's witness and statements are in writing anywhere on any of these pardons.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. We don't know who the president was.
Exactly. Now, but the people don't understand. They're telling us, though, the liberal media is saying, oh, Biden just told people to do it. No, there's a procedure in D.C. He didn't just tell somebody. There's a system where it has to be recorded and verified by one or two other people, and it has to go in the daily log, and there has to be a record of it. And this is what the media does not let the people know. Well, none of these people, and when they went to were questioned about it, every one of them pleaded the Fifth Amendment. Out of the 14 officials, not one of them was willing to say, yeah, I heard him say it. Did you write it down? Did you get verified? No. So they couldn't answer any of those questions. We know they're all lying.
Yes. Yes. Now, it gets a little deeper than this. What happened was during that period of time, now, I don't know, there was, I was, again, I was listening on the radio to this while I was driving, so I can only go by what I remember hearing. But there was some official, one of his cabinet members, a spokesman, that went out, and it was something to do about taxes and things like that. And he was speaking about public policy, and he made it up on his own because he'd only seen the president twice in 2 years, Joe Biden. So he had to give a speech to some group, or whatever it was, and it's a policy speech, and he made up the policy, not the president.
Sees
so
him twice.
Who is the president? Was it his wife? Was it his son, Hunter?
Well, we know
and
that.
Then, and then he also had other executive orders. And I was listening to someone from the House of Representatives that was talking about this. And he said that there had been executive orders signed through this period of time by the auto pen. So they're going back as far as they can to see what is legal and what is not legal. But there's going to be a significant period of time, perhaps a year, his last year in office, that much of what he's done, especially with executive orders and that, are going to be disannulled because he was not mentally able to do it.
I'm praying you're right, because you remember they turned over, Congress turned over a 100-page report that had
that's
even
what
had
I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to tell you, that Congress turned over a roughly 100-page report. All of this is detailed with tremendous detail, and they turned it over to the Justice Department, to Pam Bondi. And as I heard it, it was like slam dunk. They've got everything in it. All the Justice Department has to do is like a couple interviews and things like that, maybe some other stuff on their own. But the Congress has given slam dunk proof to the Justice Department that Joe Biden was not in charge of the federal government I think it was like 6 months, but it might have been more than that.
In my opinion, it was a lot more than that, but that's what they can prove. But remember, in that report, there were all kinds of links to transcripts and videos and video of testimony and stuff. So there's more than 100 pages, because some of those pages are just links to other documents and other things.
Yeah, they're links to exhibits.
Yeah. So that's
interviews, affidavits, things like that.
Yeah, what a mess. To me, this is one of the biggest scandals in American history, but it's only one. We've got one other scandal, and according to the headlines I read in the Federalist, 100 times worse than Watergate. Three biggest revelations from latest Arctic frost document dump. So we've got two that are probably 100 times worse than Watergate, the Otto Pen, and now we've got Arctic frost.
Brother Joe, why don't we ask for a pardon for Richard Nixon? Right.
He did was a cover. He kind of lied to cover up.
Yeah.
It was nothing but a two-bit break-in. I mean,
he threatened to use the IRS, but he never did. He threatened it.
No.
He never used the IRS.
The worst thing he did was lie and cover up and erase some tape. Well, all Watergate was a third-rate burglary against the Democrat Party office trying to get some political documents. It wasn't anything anti-American. It wasn't giving anything to the enemy. It was a political spy thing on the Democrat Party there. And the people, unfortunately, got caught. They were not good at what they were supposed to be doing. It was a political burglary that a couple of people probably should have gone to jail. And that should have been the end of it. But anytime you don't confront something and come out and acknowledge it, the people always get hung, not for the crime, but for all the lying, the deceit that happens afterward, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And Brother Joe, I just want to go back to the 25th Amendment. I've done a review here. The president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of the Representatives, they get involved in this. So it's like the whole government gets involved in it. The vice president, the cabinet, the president's cabinet, the pro temp of the Senate
and Speaker of the House.
And the Speaker of the House. Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought that. I knew there was something.
I knew there was more to it, but I just couldn't nail it. So for the president to be removed for medical issues, incompetent because of dementia and stuff, it's really, really, it's the whole government, except for the Supreme Court, gets involved in it.
Exactly. Well, it was set up. If the president, like when Reagan got shot, they were ready to do that on Reagan. If he hadn't come out of the surgery well and survived the gunshot the way he did, it was, because the president can have heart attacks. The president can have strokes and be disabled through a stroke. He can be we've had many assassinations and many, many more attempts. So, I mean, that was there for a very serious reason. And it was made so that it was open and public. We're supposed to be a nation where we operate the government in light, not in darkness, right?
Yes. Yes.
So the founders put out a system, and I'm glad you brought that up, including all those people. Then the whole world knows what's going on, and this is the way it should have been handled. And the Democrat Party might have actually gotten some credit for actually understanding the rule of law, the Constitution, doing the right thing for the country, but the way they handle it now, it's a total disgrace.
They're unable, Brother Joe. They're unable to tell the truth. They are. They are. Their minds are, as the Bible says, reprobate, and they are unable to handle the truth. And I'll just read this real quickly here.
Sure.
This is Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal offices of the executive departments, that is the his cabinet, or such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro temp of the Senate and Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office as acting president. And then it goes, there's more to it than that, but I think you can see the gist of it now.
Right. The founding fathers were brilliant men. They foresaw a lot of things that could happen. They understood that, we are frail and things can happen. And they, to me, it was amazing their foresight, what they saw into the future, how they made plans for things, contingencies, and well thought out. And what?
Yeah, Brother Joe, remember what they went through in Europe. They had everything they needed there to sit down and think out how that they could form a government that wouldn't be susceptible to these kings in England and these kings in France and these kings everywhere. And then they had abusive, they had governments under them, and they, these tremendous abusive governments. So they had a real, they were schooled well in the times to put a government together that would not be like they had lived in and saw in Europe.
Well, if I recall, Jefferson himself brought back cases of books from Europe, and the founders gathered books from all over the world. They did their research. They looked at every form of government going back that they could find, studied everything that they had written down. And, you notice, we've got politicians today that can't even read a bill before they vote on it. And these men looked at what they went through to create a government. Should have been the example for the rest of us.
Brother Joe, during the hearing of that Supreme Court justice, I don't know her first name. Her last name is Jackson. She has an odd first name.
Oh, yeah.
She was asked.
Satani or something.
Yeah, Kajani or something. Well, I don't know. But she was asked by one of the senators in her hearing, how do you define a woman? She's sitting as she's being interviewed for the Supreme position as an assistant justice, and she said, "How do I know I'm not?" And she's a woman. How do I know I'm not a biologist?
Yeah, that still to me has got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. You know, a woman that doesn't know who she is can't define what she is. But you know, when you're talking about the Democrat Party cannot tell the truth. I just saw a couple of things looked up here. Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler hearken to lies, and Biden, he's been a liar all his career, all his servants are wicked.
Yes, absolutely.
Then Isaiah really hit it. He said, none calleth for justice, nor pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And then Jeremiah says, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil and know not me, saith the Lord. And there's a few others, one more, Jeremiah 9:5, and they will deceive others that deceive again, everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. That's exactly, God was explaining it, already said what you said they did.